Yes.
Yes, it is now.
Good, thank
Okay,
God.
good. There's the first one. Now I'm going to mute everybody. And that seems to have worked.
And get rid of that then.
No, I think I need to keep that
Oh,
because
yeah.
if someone else comes in, I won't know that
Oh,
they're
these are
there.
true.
Right.
Okay.
Welcome, everybody. This is a new experience for me, actually running this thing
From here.
from here. I don't know if any of you heard the morning service this morning, but it came from Minehead, I think. It's the spring harvest, and they interviewed Graham Kendrick. And I just thought I'd start by saying 30 years ago, Graham Kendrick was asked to write a song which he based on Philippians. And it was just terrific to hear it. It was the song Knowing You, Jesus. I don't know if you know that song, but it's a wonderful song. Knowing You, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You my all, you're the best. You're my joy and righteousness, and I love you, Lord. And it just seemed to me to be a very good way to start our service, thinking about that. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Heavenly Father, although we can't see you, we love you. And we know your voice. We answer your call to draw close to you today, setting aside our other cares and concerns. We gather together to know you better in worship. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And so our prayer of confession. Lord, in some traditions, today is known as Low Sunday, and we confess that it is how we often feel after the celebration of Easter. We love the holidays, the days of feasting and joy when we share our faith together. Remind us that we are drawn together in knowing you better through the companionship of one another, travelling together in the ordinary everyday as well as the celebratory holy days. Amen. Heavenly Father, sometimes when our faith is tested, we falter. We fail to live up to your holy standards. But with you, Lord, there is forgiveness. We call to mind any times this week when we have fallen short in faith. We feel your forgiveness refreshing us, lightening our load. Thank you for knowing our hearts. Amen.
And our first reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our psalm today is Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say to the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen.
And we come to our second reading now from 1 Peter, chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You might find it helpful if you keep that reading from 1 Peter in front of you. It's important, in fact, before we explore this passage, to understand the people, the churches to whom Peter is writing. He describes them in verse 1, which we haven't read, as God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They are Jewish and Gentile Christians who were living in Gentile lands, pagan lands, lands full of people who worship false gods and opposed anyone claiming there existed a supreme authority. Oh, I've got someone else to admit. So it's clear that they experienced persecution and suffering at the hands of those who were opponents to God, the God that we love and worship. So after this introduction, we come to verse 3, and it just oozes joy and enthusiasm. Peter is bringing these Christians a joyful hope. Such is a great celebration of the wonderful resurrection truths and the difference it would make to our lives and our hearts. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, I guess you may be thinking, really? How can they, those early Christians, and we, be joyful when life faces us with so many struggles? Certainly, as Christians, we cannot ignore the difficulties and struggles of life. Some of the Psalms are great models of how to cry out to God when life is getting tough. The whole focus on the crucifixion of Jesus in Easter week faces the reality of suffering head on. Christianity is not simply an always look on the bright side of life religion. 1 Peter is a letter written to people who are suffering. It suggests that the Christians Peter is writing to are struggling with being small groups of isolated Christians who are often ill-treated by others because of their Christian faith. Compared with our lives today, their lives were tough. From the perspective of the pagans around them, being a Christian made things worse. They had very little from a worldly point of view to rejoice about, and Peter knows that. In verse 6, he acknowledges their struggles. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So, how can we rejoice when we're suffering? What joy is there in that? The answer lies in what you rejoice in and how that compares to the suffering. Peter's claim is not that we should ignore the suffering, or that it's wrong to experience the emotions of grief and sadness that it may bring, but that even in the depths of suffering in this life, it cannot compare with the joy we have in Christ. We have a friend, Jane, who's just come back from a lovely visit with friends and family in New Zealand and Australia. She showed us pictures of a little train that took her to the top of quite a steep hill. One way down was a series of zip wires. She told us that the thought of this didn't fill her with great joy, but that she would, as Shakespeare put it, screw her courage to the sticking place and give it a try. Once going, she found it exhilarating. At points it was terrifying, but it was also fun. Now, there are three things you would want to know about a zip wire in order to be confident in using it. You'd want to know that it's secured to the ground at the start, that it's secured to the ground at the end, and that it's not going to snap in the middle. If any of those things fail, then the zip wire turns from a thrill to a tragedy. And in the same way, if we have joy in the Christian life, then we need to have confidence in its start point, its end point, and the wire running between. Those are the things that Peter focuses on in this passage. The start point is the resurrection. Peter had himself known Jesus. He'd gone through the tragedy and the pain of seeing him crucified before experiencing the utter joy of meeting the risen Jesus and seeing death defeated. For Peter, the resurrection was a transformational moment. It utterly changed his life. Now, many years later, he writes with confidence to these struggling Christians to remind them of the new birth that they have experienced when they came to believe in the reality of the resurrection. Many would have previously been pagans, believing in a world controlled by fickle gods, with death being the gateway to a rather bleak view of an afterlife. Life was tough, and then you die. As pagans, it was their hopeless outlook. Today, in the world, our world, many have the same outlook. They're distracted by momentary pleasures and short-term goals to improve their lives through more money, better relationships, or fun activities, but they have nothing to look forward to in the long term except the onset of old age and death itself. Hope is non-existent. It's dead. When you grasp that the resurrection actually happened, that the God of Jesus can and has raised the dead, and he did so to create a way of life and salvation for all who trust in Jesus, then hope comes alive and life is transformed. It is a new birth. The resurrection is not an intellectual fact to debate about, but a reality that should seep into our hearts and change the way we think, feel, and love. It brings inexpressible and glorious joy. The resurrection is the secure start point of the Christian life. But start points are not enough. If our friend went on the zip wire across the valley with a secure start point, but a broken end point, then the zip would become a plummet. Yet, as Peter makes clear, the resurrection shows that our end point is secure. We have an inheritance, a place in God's eternal home that will always be there. Security is important, but the wars in Ukraine and the Middle East and other parts of the world have made us all feel much less secure. Where can we find a guarantee we can trust? The answer comes from Jesus. Why? He proved his utter commitment and love for us by dying for us, and he demonstrated his power over death by rising again. In Jesus, our hope is totally and utterly secure. In him, we can find true joy. He is our secure, fixed endpoint. We have an inheritance, a place in God's eternal home that will always be there. Finally, there comes the wire itself. You can have a secure start point and a fixed end point, but if the wire goes snap, you go splat. Look at verses 7, 8 and 9. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is the wire in our illustration? How are we held through time between the fixed points of the resurrection and the eternal home in heaven? How can we be held with confidence above the valley of trials and tribulations of this life? Well, verse 7, it was genuine faith. Peter says that such faith is worth greater than gold. Genuine faith in Christ is what brings us to the fixed point of that eternal inheritance. In the parable of the sower, Jesus speaks of the seed that falls on shallow ground, as illustrating those whose faith is not genuine or strong. When suffering and persecution comes along, their faith wilts. It's not genuine. Similarly, he speaks of the seed that falls among the weeds, as illustrating a faith that is superficial. When the worries of this life come along, their faith is choked. It is not genuine. True, genuine faith perseveres through these struggles, keeping us fixed to the resurrection and to the hope of our eternal inheritance. When this is the case, suffering creates a deeper confidence that our faith is genuine, that the wire will hold. Our struggles may be tough, but they have a positive purpose in refining and strengthening our faith. When that happens, we discover a deeper joy. When our friend Jane went on the zip wire, the initial moments were terrifying. The ground was a long way down. But as she whizzed through the air, she became more confident, and the start and the end points would hold, and that the wire would not snap. Terror turned to pleasure. In the same way as Christians, as we zip through life, we need to focus again and again on the great fixed points of the resurrection and our eternal inheritance in heaven. Verse 9, we need to rejoice in the genuine faith that God has given us to keep us moving towards the ultimate goal, the salvation of our souls. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Alleluia. We have an inheritance, a place in God's eternal home that will always be there. May our Heavenly Father, through his grace, give us a joyful and genuine faith. Amen.
And now we come to our prayers this morning. Through our faith, may we and all people be shielded by God's power and love. Doubt and disbelief are all around us in our daily lives and all around God's created world. We bring to mind everyone we know who has known the love of God, but no longer trust in God for their help, and all those who refuse to believe the great Easter story of death defeated and Christ alive. As the disciple Thomas doubted, so we seek to trust God more and believe in what seems unbelievable. God of all our lives, we pray for all those who doubt and have lost their way. Help us to support them and point them to you and remain strong in our faith. And we say together, through our faith, may we and all people be shielded by God's power and love. Exploration, inquiry, and risk are all around us in our daily lives and all around God's created world. We bring to mind the Artemis II mission and its exploration of God's universe in a way that hasn't been done for years. We ask that their research and experiments will be to the benefit of all people and not for the profit of a few. God of our beings, you gave us all the ability to think, inquire, and help learn. Help all those who are doing dangerous things in order to understand more. Keep them safe and guide them to see your hand in all that is and always has been.
Through
Through our
our
faith,
faith,
may
may we
we
and
and all
all people
people be
be
shielded
shielded
by
by God's
God's power
power
and
and
love.
love.
The light of the sun and the warmth of spring is all around us in our daily lives, and the seasons change across God's created world. We bring to mind the hope and clarity that springs to us, that spring brings to us, and to all those who work on the land to produce our food. We ask that as farmers across the world struggle with changing climates, all people would see what small things we can do to preserve our earth. God of all creation, we pray for those who work the land to produce food. Help them deal with the challenges of change and help us do all we can to save the wonderful world you created and said was good.
Through
Through our
our faith,
may
may we
we
be
and
all
all people
people
be
be shielded
shielded
by
by God's
God's
power
power
and
and love.
love. Sadness, loss, and desperation are all around us in our daily lives and all around God's created world. We bring to mind those whose lives have been torn apart by war and conflict in Sudan, in Ukraine, and all across the Middle East, and live in constant fear of destruction all around them. We remember those closer to home who are gripped by loss and mourning, addiction, illness, or poverty, and in those deep and dark times see no time and no light and no hope. And we think especially this morning of Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Margaret T, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Brian, Alison, Margaret R, Nigel, Audrey, Sharon, John P, John L, Richard, Kathy, Bob, and Oliver. And we pray for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. Herbert Smith, Linda Taylor, Ian Russell, and Colin Mee. God of all hope, we pray for those who call out in desperation right now. In their impossible situations, we ask that even as we say these prayers, they will find a deep peace that only you can give and sense your grace with them. Through our faith, may
May we
we and all
all
people
people
be
be shielded
shielded
by
by God's
God's power
power
and
and
love.
love. Amen.
And the Collect for the Second Sunday of Easter. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts, that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, to the praise of God our Father.
Amen.
Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our
Our Father
Father in
in
heaven,
heaven,
hallowed
hallowed
be
be
your
your name.
name. Your
Your
kingdom
kingdom
come,
come,
your
your will
will
be
be
done
done on
earth
earth
as
as
in
in
heaven.
heaven. Give
Give
us
us
today
today
our
our
daily
daily
bread.
bread.
Forgive
Forgive
us our
us our
sins,
sins
as
as
we
we
forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who sin
sin against
against us.
us. Lead us
Lead us
not
not
into
into temptation,
temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For
For
the
the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, thank you for the gift of faith, which is more precious than gold. Thank you for the different ways we have of knowing you. Help us to leave everything that takes us away from you at the cross. Amen. I don't think I can do that.
Can't you
People,
unmute?
I think people have to
Do
unmute
they?
themselves.
Oh,
Yeah.
I believe so. Thank you. That's great.
Well done.
Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
That was lovely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, Nicholas, that you came, that we were a little bit late in letting you in. Oh, there you are. Sorry. It's nice to see you, though. You have to unmute yourself. Oh, we can't hear you. There we are. Oh, we can't hear anybody.
Thanks.
Oh, there we are.
Thanks, Andrew and Sue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.